God bless you, Sister Collins. You look like a natural. I want to ask your prayers today as I bring forth the message. And I did forget to mention before we had prayer that Sister Becky Strode lost a first cousin, and his funeral services will be this afternoon, so pray for that family. And Brother Ron Spurgeon had an aunt pass away, one of the older Patterson girls died, and they were having her funeral services this afternoon, and Brother Ron was going to be conducting the service, so remember them, if you would, please. I want to share some scripture with you today from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 15, and read through verse 24. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15, in the words of Jesus, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Again, that's reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 24, for a scripture reading. The thought that I want to bring before you for just a little while today, I would like to use this title, Love Made Believable. If you look in these verses that were read, I want to call your attention to two of the things here that Jesus said, beginning with the first verse that I read, verse 15. Jesus made a statement that is, it's unmistakable what he was saying. Very plain language. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in the 23rd verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. In verse 24, it says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And so I want you to think about that with me today, if you will, for a little while, about love made believable. And I really think that in verse 15, what Jesus was saying here was, if you love me, prove it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Prove it to me. Prove your love to me by doing the things that I have commanded you to do. Now, in this world, if you are looking for something in this world, if it takes perfection in anything in this world for you to be able to love, then you're going to have to go through life without loving anybody or anything. Because you are never going to find anyone in this world that's perfect. The only perfect love that I have is that for the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is perfect. He's the only one that we can love that is perfect. I don't ever have to overlook any of the faults of the Lord Jesus. I don't ever have to be patient in my love towards the Lord Jesus, because He is perfect. He never does anything wrong. He never does anything to offend. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He is ironclad in keeping the things that He has promised us. He never falters. He never fails in any way. He's perfect. But the rest of us are not. There's no such thing as a perfect person. There's no such thing as a perfect nation. There is no such thing as a perfect church. Things in this life are flawed, and we must endeavor to love in spite of that. I'll guarantee you today that our soldiers that are on foreign soil, that are in a hostile environment, they are there today because they love their country. As far as I'm concerned, they are proving the love that they have for this country. They're showing it. And I am also of the opinion that, in fact, I guess I should say, really, I think we know. We know that while they're there, that they realize that their country is not perfect, but they're there putting themselves in danger, putting their very lives in danger to serve her anyway. And that's how we need to be with things in life. And we all know that the Lord, in the love that He showed for us and does show for us in this life, we know that the Lord is looking down upon people that are full of imperfections and still loves us. I don't believe that love said is enough. I don't think it's enough. If you think about this, if a parent just neglected their children, if they never did anything for them, if they never did anything to provide those children with the things that they need, if they had absolutely no interest in what their child was interested in, if they paid no attention to them at all, and just didn't do the things for them that a parent ought to do for a child, do you think that they could just once in a while that they could tell their children that they love them and make it believable? I don't think so. If people don't do the things for their spouse that ought to be done, if we don't give them the attention that we ought to give them and provide for them in their needs the way that the Scriptures teach us to, then we couldn't just merely tell them every once in a while, "I love you," and make it believable. Love is something that has to be proven. And if it's not proven, it is not believable. And we, as God's people, we must show the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ to make it believable. I'll tell you something else that I don't believe, and I'll just be plain and honest about it. I don't believe that when people just neglect the church and maybe they show up once a year and all the rest of the time they're out involved in the things of the world and doing other things, and they show up once a year and they stand up and they talk about how much they love their church. I'll tell you today, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. That is not love made believable. Jesus, in his word, told us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is his commandment. The Lord has commanded us to come together to assemble ourselves in worship and to honor him in that way. And when we don't do it, we don't keep his commandments. I realize that there are situations, and you know today that I'm not talking about this. I realize that there are situations with people where they are not able to come to church, where they are not able to get out of their house and come to the house of God. But I'm talking about people that will just willfully neglect the assembling of themselves together, and then just every once in a great while they'll come and they'll maybe they'll come to church and they'll testify and they'll just tell everybody how much they love their church. To me, that's just not believable. But you know, the greatest thing is the Lord knows our hearts, doesn't he? The Lord knows our hearts, and we can say all that we want to say, and we can make all the testimonies that we want to make, but the fact of the matter is that the Lord knows our hearts. And God knows whether we truly love him or whether we don't. He knows whether we truly love the church or whether we don't. I also, I am of the opinion that when our church does something wrong and we just up and forsake her, then we don't love the church. That's just the way I feel about it. You know, when my wife and I got married, and certainly I've thought a lot this week about the years that we've been married, and when we got married, you know, it didn't, well, actually, when we were dating before we were married, we had already learned it, but what I was going to say was it didn't take us very long in our married life to learn that that neither of us had married a perfect spouse. When I had my hand in the garbage disposal trying to unjam it, she flipped the switch on. I knew I hadn't married a perfect lady. And when I raised my voice to her and said, "What's wrong with you?" she knew she hadn't married a perfect man. I mean, there are things in life that we, you know, the Bible tells us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know something, if we're going to love each other, we're going to have to endeavor to do it, because there are going to be times when we are going to get on each other's nerves, we're going to bother each other in this life. Everything is not going to be exactly the way that it ought to be, and so love is something that we have to work at. It's that way in a family. It's that way in a church. It's that way in a nation. And I'll tell you what, with all of the things that are wrong in our country today, things I have preached about them, the things that are happening in America today that bother me and that alarm me, I still love the great country that we live in today. And I feel like in my heart that if it were necessary, I'd be willing to put the uniform back on and go and defend the country in which we live. I'm glad for the things that we have here, the freedoms that we have. I would say, and I know that you didn't anticipate it from the very beginning, but I also know that from the very first time that I stepped behind this pulpit, as the pastor of the church here, I am aware of the fact that this church realized that you had not called a perfect man to pastor the church. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. Aren't you glad? And you know, when I realized, and there was a verse of scripture, I believe that Brother Farmer covered this past week in our prayer meeting from the sixth chapter of Galatians. I believe it was Brother Farmer that brought this up. But from the sixth chapter of Galatians, Paul spoke about the fact that if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, I'll tell you what, we can take a great fall when we begin to think too much of ourselves. And I realize that when I see someone that's doing something that bothers me or something that I don't think is right, I realize in those times that that's necessary for us always to take a look at ourselves, because I think that for every imperfection that I could find in my brother, I could find two or three in myself. And so we must learn to love in spite of these things. And I believe that God can help us to do that very thing. When Jesus Christ came into this world, and if you ever have a problem, if you have a problem loving somebody, when you see their infirmities, you see their faults, if you have a problem loving somebody, then take a look at what Jesus did for you. Because I'll tell you, I guarantee you that when Jesus came into the world, he realized from the very onset, even in eternity before he ever came into the world, even in eternity before God had ever made the man, when Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, I'll guarantee you that Jesus knew that he was not coming to give his life for people that were perfect. He knew that he was coming to give his life for people that wouldn't care anything about him. He knew that he was coming to give his life and to die on a cross for people that would mock him, people that would spit on him, people that would slap him in the face, people that would stand there while he was hanging on the cross, suffering and dying for them, and say, "Well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just come down from there and save yourself?" Jesus knew what he was facing. He knew the type of people that were here before he ever came into the world. But he still came, didn't he? He still came. What would we have if all that we had were the verse of Scripture that we read where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Think about it. If that's all that we had, if all that we had of Jesus was to be able to open our Bible and read in the third chapter of the Gospel of John in verse 16 that God loved the world. If that's all we had, think of what we would be missing. Jesus proved his love for us. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, when he allowed those people to nail his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross and suspend him on that cross between heaven and earth, and as he hung there dying for the sins of man, there was never a greater manifestation of love that took place before that or has taken place since that time. I mean, you talk about the fulfillment of all love. It happened when Jesus hung on the cross. You talk about the great proving of love. When he hung there and gave his life for our sins. And aren't you glad today for what you have experimentally? I'm so thankful that I can, that I know more about the love of Christ than what I've read even in the Holy Book of God. Even in the Holy Bible. I'm thankful that I know more about the Lord Jesus than what I have read about him. I'm thankful that I have experienced his love down in my soul. I'm thankful that I know what that feels like and that I know what it's about. And no matter what that I do, no matter how that I fail, no matter how that I stray, I can always go back to the Lord Jesus Christ and I can get down on my knees before him and I can approach his throne of grace and I can begin to ask God to forgive me of what I have done. Forgive me for the way that I have failed. Forgive me for the way that I have strayed. And every time that we come to the throne of grace, we are coming to somebody there that loves us despite what we have done, that still loves us. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It's greater. I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy reading the things about God and his love. I love the verse that says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." I get a great blessing out of the things that I read, but I'm glad that no pen could ever pin down what the love of God is really like. Friends, it can't be understood by being read. It's got to be experienced in the heart to really be understood. Got to be felt. And it's better felt than it is told. If we love Jesus, if we truly love him, if we really, honestly love the Lord Jesus. You know, every one of us today could say we do. Every one of us. Every one of us could stand up here today and say, "I love the Lord." David did, didn't he? Brother Wheat mentioned that this morning, the 116th Psalm. That's what David said when he wrote that. "I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." I love the Lord. I've heard many people in my life in their testimony say, "I love the Lord." But friends, listen, the love for the Lord is something that must be proven. You know, the same concept holds true for faith. James said, "Show me your faith without your works." Have you ever thought of any way to do that? We cannot open our hearts and show people what's inside, can we? We can't do it. I can't physically show somebody today that I have been saved. I can't show somebody today that I have been justified by faith and that I have peace with God by any other way than showing them by my works. That's the only way it can be done. James said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. The proving of faith can only come through that which is made manifest. And love is exactly the same way. If you love somebody, I mean if you really love somebody, and it's a wonderful thing to express in words your love for someone, if you love somebody, tell them you love them. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to tell you what. If you really love somebody, when you say those words, I love you, they're going to already know before you ever speak it. They're going to know whether or not that you love them, because love can only be made believable through our actions. That's the only way. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's the only method that you and I have for showing our love for the Lord, is through obedience to the things that He has taught us, the things that He has told us, the things that He has commanded us to do and not to do. By adhering to those commandments is the only way that we can show our love for the Lord. So Jesus was saying, if you love me, prove it. Prove it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love is not puffed up. Love never fails. Believe that? The Bible says it. Love never fails. Charity never fails. Love will prevail in situations where nothing else will. Love, the Bible says, can cover a multitude of sins. Love can allow you and I. Love can give us the strength to be able to love each other in spite of what we do to irritate each other. Love can give us the strength to fellowship, to have that fellowship with God and with each other despite all of our infirmities. I'm glad that Jesus loved us, and I'm glad that He came and proved to us that He loved us. Lost friend, He loves you. He loves you. He wants to save you. He really does. He wants to save you. You can't love Him. You can't even begin to love the Lord until you meet that first commandment to repent. Jesus has commanded all men everywhere to repent. People running all over the world today talking about how much they love the Lord and haven't even repented of their sins. They're wrong. We can't love Him until He puts that love in us. But I am persuaded, I am totally persuaded that love, true love, must be proven. It must be proven. We must prove our love one for another through the things that we do. We must prove our love for the Lord Jesus Christ through the things we do. We must prove our love for the church through the things that we do. And that's the only method that we have in this life to prove it. Prove it. If you love Him, prove it. That's my message today, and I hope that it's been a help to you in some way. I really do. I hope that perhaps somehow it will help us all in our Christian walk with the Lord. Anyone have a word? If not, we're going to dismiss the service.